your faces so we can all hear. No.
There you go.
Okay.
Call to order the meeting, special meeting of the Oceana Community Service District Board of Directors for Wednesday, August 29th, 5:30 p.m. May we have the call to order, please, and the roll call.
Director Gibson.
Here.
Director Angelo.
Here.
Director Rapoglou.
Here.
Vice President Austin.
Here.
President White.
Here. We'll stand for the flag salute.
Attention, salute. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We now need to review the agenda and see if there's any changes. Or Ms. Cassiola?
President White, members of the board, we have modified our agenda item 8. We have provided a modified staff report with the correct check sequence. This adjustment will not adjust the total cash disbursements, but only the check sequence reported on your board posted agenda. At the appropriate time, the recommendation would be for the approval of staff recommendations in item 8 as modified.
Thank you. Anything else? Anything from any of the board?
Nothing.
Entertain a motion.
Well, I'll move that we approve the agenda review.
Approve the agenda.
For the agenda
I'll
with
second.
The as modified for item 8.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. Moving on, closed session. So who's going to report here? Our counselor?
Of course. Seeing that there's no public to make public comment, the board will adjourn to closed session pursuant to Government Code 54957.6. This is conference with labor negotiators. The agency represented is the general manager, Pavel Ogren. The employee organization is Services Employees International Union and unrepresented management positions. Pursuant to Government Code 54956.9A, this is conference with district legal counsel regarding Oceano CSD versus GSI Soils, Inc. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D4, conference with legal counsel regarding anticipated litigation. There is one matter. And pursuant to Government Code 54956.9E3, conference with legal counsel regarding the receipt of a claim pursuant to the Government Claims Act. There is one claim.
Okay. We move on to public session then? I mean to closed session? Oh. Mic's on. Mic's on.
Yeah.
Glasses on so I can read. My cheap glasses that are scratched. Okay, here we go. Call back to order the meeting of special meeting of the Oceana Community Service District for August 29th. May we have a report from closed session, please, Counselor?
Yes, the report out of closed session on item 5A, 5B, and 5C. There was no reportable action. On item 5D, the board unanimously decided to reject the claim considered in closed session.
Thank you very much. Moving on to public comment for items not on the agenda. The public comment period provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the board on matters of interest within the jurisdiction of the district that are not listed on the agenda. We ask that public comment be limited to 3 minutes. And see one person coming up.
Yeah, my name is Aline Villa, and my comment is just that I look forward to working with most of you here on the board as soon as possible. I'm hoping it's a very, I know that's going to be a learning experience for me, and I'm hoping that you can help me out as much as possible. I would greatly appreciate it. I'm looking forward to working with you all, making positive change here in Oceano.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, moving on to special presentations and reports. Let's start with Tony Maraschino, our field supervisor.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maraschino. All right, for the past couple weeks, we've had our weekly samples, 20 work orders, 12 USAs, 18 customer service calls. We had one call out that was for a Grover PD called out the on-call operator for Kenmar Gardens for a water leak. When the operator responded to the location, could not find it, and the location was actually at Halcyon Estates at a neighbor's residence. They left the hose on. So a little confusion on the location. The lift station is currently getting one of the motors repaired that went down a few weeks ago. Maintenance of well 8, the injectors and the chlorine pumps needed maintenance. The calcium carbonate builds up in the injector, basically can clog it over time. Melodrama sewer tie-in got tied into our system. Trash pickup in the alley, quite a bit of trash lately. Been picking it up, cleaning it up. The Oceano school, we had a fire line get tapped into our water system, and that was inspected. They're putting up a couple more modular classrooms, so it was required to have fire sprinklers, so that's what the fire line was for. An inspection on a residential sewer line for a house that was installed. Fire line and thrust block for the Melodrama was installed. So a lot of different just projects throughout the community that are happening currently. Some maintenance here at the main office, some lighting. Really working on sewer jetting. Try to get that as complete and done as possible before we start on this bridge project on Air Park. Meter replacement and meter boxes raised. I just want to let you know Lopez Lake is currently at 44.9% full, which is 21,171 acre feet. And something that occurred today regarding a house was installing a wall. A contractor was installing a block wall, ran it out to the sidewalk, which is about 2 inches away from the hydrant. So myself and the guys kind of became aware of that as we saw it. And we know that you need clearance for all hydrants, a minimum of 4 feet. Brought it to the GM's attention. We also got the county involved, the county inspector. We met him there on location. The home is also a vacation rental, but since it's black and white and there's an ordinance out there, us and the county, the contractor who's doing the work immediately removed 4 feet of the wall away from the hydrant, knocked it down, and got it taken care of basically instantly today, which was good because you couldn't even open the 4-inch pumper on there with the hydrant wrench. It was that close to the wall. So,
what would they
do? Yeah, just little things here and there. You're putting out little fires here and there. Any questions?
Questions?
I don't have any. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you. And I appreciate the rapid action on that fire hydrant, because if you can't get to a fire hydrant, you can't have enough water to put out a fire.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe anybody would do something like that.
The contractor told me the homeowner got it approved, and he was just doing what the homeowner asked him to do. And once we got the county inspector and the ordinance and showed him, he immediately saw cut it, removed it 4 feet of the wall away from the hydrant.
Say this is Pike Lane?
It was Pike, the Pike.
Oh, the Pike, okay, because yes. I was thinking it was industrial. I didn't think.
No.
I was wondering where there was a house on Pike Lane. It's on the Pike, okay.
I apologize, the Pike.
The Pike, okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
move on to general manager reports. Mr. Ogren?
Madam President, members of the board, a couple of interesting meetings last week. One was reinitiating the discussions on the future of the Five Cities Fire Authority with the two city managers and Chief Lieberman. So in a little bit of in contrast to the initial meeting that we had, the second meeting went much better. And I'm also going to be having some, the city managers and I are going to meet separately from Lieberman on occasion as well. So those efforts have been reinitiated. Chief Lieberman indicated that he would be providing the Five Cities Fire Authority Board of Directors an update in their September meeting. And I indicated then that I would plan on following suit at your board's second meeting in September. The second interesting meeting was regarding Central Coast Blue and some of the next steps that the cities of Pismo Beach, Arroyo Grande, and Grover had on their schedule, which included some pretty challenging tasks. And the conversation overall, in a nutshell, turned to the role of the sanitation district. And, you know, obviously the sanitation district has to be involved in Central Coast Blue because they are treating the wastewater from the three communities other than Pismo Beach. And so on a variety of issues then, what is the role of the sanitation district going to be and how is that going to be addressed? And so I've also talked with the sanitation district's administrator. He's meeting with Grover Beach city manager on Friday, and we're anticipating some follow-up meetings on with the different agency staffs and the sanitation district to start working on some of the coordination issues coming up on that. Then lastly, we have been moving forward on coordinating our open house. Currently, we have two dates that are tentative that we're working with. One is October 27th, and the other is November 17th, Saturdays. And the overall approach has got about 15 different participants in it. Five would be presenters at the main gym in the community center, and then we'd have auxiliary rooms set up so that people can go through and do one-on-one question and answers. And but the five presenters would be Central Coast Blue, the county's energy program, our district with our water resource reliability program, and then the local hazard mitigation plan that's being developed by Category 5, and then County Public Works on their revitalization project and the drainage project. And that's our goal. We've got a lot of it tied down. We don't have everybody committed yet. And then lastly, also we did receive the draft of the local hazard mitigation plan, and we'll be working with Category 5 on some, I should say, the administrative draft and giving them feedback on that. And then I also received the administrative draft on the injection study, which is part of our water resource reliability program, and how might we and where would be optimal locations in Oceano to re-inject treated reclaimed water into the groundwater basin within our boundaries. So both of those will be in the not-too-distant future for your board as well. And I'd be glad to answer any questions.
What were the dates on the open house?
Again.
So the two that we're targeting right now is October 27th and November 17th.
Do you know when that might be nailed down?
No. Right now what we're doing is trying to talk with the presenters first and then the larger group. And I would anticipate in the next week or 2 weeks is when we would most likely have that nailed down.
So what will other people be there besides these groups, or is it like...
Yes, so PG&E will be there. PG&E is currently working on some public programs around these, you know, the change in the energy rates, as well as how do people qualify for discounted rates if on disadvantaged status to get discounted rates. Some of our NGOs are going to be there, or non-governmental organizations. One Cool Earth is going to be there. County planning is going to be there to talk about the various planning documents affecting Oceano. And I can provide a list of who we're planning on.
So it's just open to the public to come and talk and bring whatever issues you want to talk to about?
Yeah, so we'll have the various topics, and then if someone's interested in one topic versus another, they can go and seek out their questions.
I wonder if the October 27th is too close to Halloween.
Well, we might have a Halloween theme if that's the case.
Get your hat up.
I've got one. No, I was just thinking that
timing-wise, it might be that we're looking at pushing it to November anyhow because of the number of groups that we're trying to coordinate.
It's just that there's the Saturday before Halloween, there might be a lot of carnivals and kids stuff that would
that's
be
the Saturday. Yeah, that would
Saturday
be
before
day,
Halloween.
I think we'll be.
But I just.
So it's a work in progress.
Yes, thank you.
Certainly.
Sounds like a very good work in progress. Anything else? Okay, moving on to board of directors and outside committee reports. Director Angelo.
I have none.
Director Gibson.
Nothing to report.
President White, nothing to report. Vice President Austin?
I have nothing.
And Director?
I'll get it by
2020, I'll get it on us. Yeah.
I can report on the Oceana Advisory Council.
That would be fine.
From Monday night. It was a busy agenda. There were 4 cannabis-related businesses with minor use permit requests. All but one were for distribution services. So they would have a facility, and they're almost all on Pike Lane. One was on
South 4th, 13th. Just on the
so they just have a facility that would have the cannabis products there, and then they have one or two drivers going out to deliver them. There is one that would also be doing some manufacturing, and they were the only applicant that wasn't there to tell us exactly what they were going to be doing. But there were 4 people present from the county, and they talked a lot about the various requirements that the county imposes on cannabis businesses, and the advisory council didn't have any major concerns about that, other than making sure that any concerns that the fire department had were addressed relative especially to the manufacturing business, and we were assured that those would be addressed. There was also a request from State Parks to replace a 700-something square foot trailer at their yard on Pacific with a double wide, 1,000 square foot. The delegate from the Oceana Beach Community Association, myself, expressed a concern that we do not want to see any expansion of State Parks' presence there until their public works plan is approved by the Coastal Commission. But there were no other concerns raised on that one. And we also discussed organizing a voter information forum sometime probably early November. Early October, when, you know, before the ballots are received and mail out ballots. And that would allow an opportunity for people who are both for and against Measure G, which is the initiative that would ban new oil wells and fracking in Slo County, to address the voters of Oceano, as well as people for and against the repeal of the gas tax. So that's in early planning stages right now.
Thank you. And no other reports. I need to call public comments on special presentations and reports. Seeing nobody come forward, I will move the agenda on to the consent agenda items. Are there any questions or comments on consent agenda?
Nope.
May I entertain a motion? Oh, public comment on consent agenda, and seeing no one to come forward, I will then entertain a motion.
Okay, I'll move that we approve the consent agenda as modified on item 8.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carries 5-0. Moving on to business items, and again calling for public comment on the business item, which is consideration of a recommendation to approve a memorandum of understanding with Service Employees International Union Local 620. And I see nobody coming forward, so we'll move on to that. Mr. Ogren.
Madam President, members of the board, quick verbal report on the recommendation to approve the memorandum of understanding with Service Employees International Union Local 620. Really two primary items that affect our labor costs. One is incorporated within it is an annual cost of living adjustment of 3%. The current MOU, or the one that just expired, had a minimum of 2%, but based on consumer price index. So for a 5-year term and 3% per year, it fixed an exact dollar amount. And the CPI adjustment that would have gone into effect on July 1st, if under the terms of the existing MOU, would have been closer to 3.5%. Even though this is a fixed amount and CPI might be a little bit high or a little bit low, felt like that was a pretty good negotiated item, with 3% being a reasonable estimate of future CPI, but protects the district from, in the event that CPI moves up higher, and with some of the increases in minimum wage, I think that that's a reasonable possibility. So again, 5-year term, 3% per year for cost of living adjustments, does not affect my contract. The second item is the health benefits, and as expressed in the staff report, this recommendation, we've recognized we pay below. Obviously, health insurance rates have been going up. And that, similar to the wage adjustments in the prior MOU, are being implemented over a 3-year period, depending on if it's employee-only, employee with one dependent, or employee with two dependents. And while that might, in some minds, seem to be a generous benefit, I'll remind everybody that Oceano CSD doesn't provide post-retirement health benefits, and I can never imagine making a recommendation that we do so. That post-employment retirement benefits, under a term called OPEB, other post-employment benefits, is really one of the areas that is creating significant financial stress amongst other local agencies. We often hear about pension costs, but in reality, in some agencies, it's the post-retirement health benefits that are creating the larger economic stress. So we're in a fortunate situation both with pensions, where our unfunded liability is nowhere as near as significant as other agencies, and we have no post-retirement health liability. There's also some minor adjustments associated with the number of shirts and clothing allowance, but those really weren't significant financially. Overall, the negotiations went pretty well, and the only real delay was the result of the Janus decision out of the U.S. Supreme Court regarding union membership, and it was just coincidental that the timing of that was the same as our update on our MOU, so it took a little bit of extra work in order to make sure that the MOU has legal conformity, and any questions of those nature redirect to legal counsel. And that concludes my summary, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Any questions? No, I don't have any questions.
Entertain a motion. I think we're good to go.
I'll go ahead. I'll make a motion. We approve a memorandum of understanding with the Service Employees International Union Local 620.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carries 5-0. We did not need a roll call on that? Okay, thank you. I thought it might have screwed up already.
Never.
Moving on to our hearing item. Consideration of recommendations to approve the final 2018-29 budget encumbrances and adjustments to the approved preliminary budget.
Madam President, members of the board, Tony, can you help with a few of the lights? That's good. Today's item is really sort of going to be two-part. One is it's going to cover the final budget, and then the second recommendation is for your board to consider a couple of adjustments. As a reminder, when you approve the preliminary budget, you're approving the revenue and the expenditure plan for the year. And so the final budget is where we then make the adjustments to the estimated reserve balances that when the year end closes on June 30th, we have about 6 weeks to, which is not enough time to close our books. The audit actually isn't due until a year after the books are closed. But we have about 6 months to do our best estimates on the final reserve balances from last fiscal year so that we can put them into the final budget and then evaluate, you know, how do you want to adopt your reserves for the current fiscal year 18-19 year. So what I'm first going to do is run through the final budget and then seek an action item on that and then go through the other three items that are on the agenda. In that respect, on the final budget, we do have one replacement page, and that was handed out, and it has to do with the reserves. And I want to just speak to that very quickly. And highlighted in yellow are two items, one relating to facilities fees and the other, with accrued leave balance. And then versus the minimum reserve. And the accrued leave balance was previously included in the minimum reserve, and I wanted to make sure to break that out separately. And I'll go through that as part of the presentation, but the point is, when it comes time to considering the final budget, one of your options on a recommendation or a motion would be to approve staff recommendations as modified. And so this illustrates the modifications. The presentation itself is really going to focus in on the recommendations associated with the reserves. The staff report provided reference that this year we have some significant changes in reserves, and those were reviewed in detail on February 22nd. The February 22nd hearing was significant because it was right after we had completed the audit that covered the period in time when we did the large reclassification of the sheriff substation building, and we established how to modify the interfund debts and clean up all of the accounting that really was kind of a 15-year mistake. And so once that was done, February, we were able to come through and provide revised estimates associated with reserves that, again, were revised after the sheriff's substation. So before jumping into it, I wanted to just draw your board's attention to another handout that should be in front of you. And these are the a reminder of what our interfund debt schedule is. The significance of making sure that we did the sheriff's substation, the financing for the sheriff's substation's analysis, is that all these interfund loans that had existed, some of them hadn't been previously recorded, but there had been no amortization tables set up for repayment of the loans, which is required by state code. So as part of all that effort, your board previously adopted amortization and repayment schedules, and this sheet is simply a summary of the due tos and the due froms and what the annual payments are and then the final payment year. So running through it really quickly, the water fund as of the beginning of the year owes the general fund about $459,000, makes an annual payment of $31,500, which is included in the budget, and those payments are going to continue to the year 2034-35 unless there's another board action for advanced repayment. The water fund also owes the garbage fund around $45,000, annual payment of about $7,500, and that'll be paid off sooner in fiscal year 2024-25. If interest rates stay low, that might actually get paid off a little bit early. And then the general fund and facilities fund owes to the sewer fund $470,000, and that's part of the original financing of the sheriff's substation that the sewer fund provided. Those payments are $113,940 a year, and that'll be paid off relatively quickly in 2022-2023 because that matches the lease term with the sheriff's department. As it was originally developed, the costs that the district incurred on the construction of the sheriff's substation were intended to be all paid off by the time that the original 20-year lease with the sheriff expired. And that's part of why the $113,000 is so high each year. But that also matches what the lease revenues are that we get from the county. Excuse me. As a side note, that lease agreement does provide the sheriff with the right to renew under 5-year terms. In the event that the county chooses to renew the lease, then there will be a payment adjustment that's already prescribed in the lease agreement. Prior discussions with your board as well entertain the idea of a longer term, perhaps a renewal for a 20-year term rather than a 5-year term. The concept there was that 20-year term would give the district the ability to use that revenue stream, that lease stream, then to actually invest in some facilities improvements, like improving the fire station for permanent living quarters. 5-year revenue stream doesn't really provide the ability to fund any construction activities, but a 20-year revenue stream from the county would. We really haven't gotten any feedback. I know that the county's discussed it, but I think the bigger issue in the meanwhile is what's the future of the Five Cities Fire Authority. So again, as a real quick recap, that lease agreement provides the sheriff with 5-year renewal options, but your board has expressed previously openness to doing a 20-year negotiated term. Also, the general fund or facilities then collects from the water fund that $31,500 a year. But because of the different payment terms, the general fund is going to be paying off its obligations far in advance and continuing to receive money from the water fund for a longer period of time. The sewer fund is going to be receiving the $113,940 through 2022-23. And that's significant because the sewer fund's budget does balance, and in fact it has a little bit of surplus, but part of that is because of the $113,000. Mm-hmm. When the sewer fund no longer has that revenue source in 2023-24, then it would fall into a deficit, so we have about a 5-year period to work on, what are we going to do in terms of fiscal for the sewer fund. Our sewer service charges on a house today are just slightly less than $10 a month. So as we look at deferred infrastructure and sewer on a long-term basis and in future budgets, we know that there's going to be rate impacts on the sewer fund. And, of course, those kind of numbers can always create startling quotes because a $10 increase in a sewer collection, and I'm not saying that that's what I anticipate, but just as an example, $10 increase per month in real dollars is one thing, but then it sounds like it's a doubling of the sewer rates, right? Just because the existing sewer rates are under $10 a month. And they are so low is because we only have the collection system responsibility, and of course the sanitation district has the treatment responsibilities. And then lastly, the garbage fund had loaned the water fund in prior years some money, and so it's still due back $45,000, and it's getting paid $7,500 a year. The importance of these, briefly touching on these interfund loans and receivables, is that when we work through reserve analysis, you don't see it from a budgetary standpoint because the annual payments have all been incorporated into amortization schedules, and so we see the repayments in the budget itself. But the reserves are intended to reflect what are the resources that the district has available today to pay for its bills next year. So the budgetary reserves are a relatively short-term basis. If these type of loans had all been considered due tomorrow, which essentially is how we had to treat them prior to the amortization schedules, the water fund showed a much worse position. And by getting those loan amortization schedules approved, in some respect, it was a refinancing of debt and sort of an action that was a good action to take. If other agencies had allowed what had been happening in Oceano to continue, Oceano was, you know, literally walking down that path toward bankruptcy. And then you would see debt reorganization as part of the Bankruptcy Act in order to straighten it all out. But we got it all done and got it all through the audit, and we're now on a good path. And the importance of looking at reserves now is that becomes an important management tool in moving forward. As the Water Resource Reliability Program is getting developed and we're identifying costs associated with deferred infrastructure on the water system, and then we'll be doing the same thing on the sewer system, what we really will have to be doing is saying, what revenues do we collect in order to deal with our capital improvements and our deferred infrastructure, and how do we manage those revenues in context of, are we going to borrow money from the State Water Board or USDA? I mention them because they tend to be the best financing deals for small agencies. But that revenue and that loan also has to be done in the context of reserves. So my hope today is by making recommendations on reserves, we now have a starting point for reserves in which then to, combined with the engineering analysis of our deferred infrastructure, we'll be able to start building a financing plan on how to you know, catch up on the deferred infrastructure and tackle those problems. So I wanted to talk just briefly about the interfund loan and what was accomplished in the last 12 months and how those are intertwined in the budgets. But I'm going to jump into the reserves and the recommendations on reserves. And those are all in these great details of these massive spreadsheets. But sometimes pie charts do a better job of telling the story. So that's what Carrie and I have been working on, is developing these. Overall, the district's reserves, and so these are the projections at the end of the year, at the end of the fiscal year. And that's assuming everything hits budget exactly as it is. Typically, nothing hits budget exactly as it is because budgets are estimates, and at the end of the years, you have actuals. But these would be our estimated at the end of the year, and normally the numbers would be a little bit higher, except that we also know that we have some capital projects that might require some budget adjustments. But overall, the district's reserves would be about $3.4 million. I want to make sure. And the yellow section here, even though those are shown in three different funds, the general fund, the equipment fund, and the facilities fund, these are all really components of the governmental fund. And I highlighted equipment in red, even though it's a really small sliver, because some of that has been contributed by the enterprise funds, by water and sewer. And we'll get to the equipment reserves in a little bit. But the important point here is that this is your governmental fund, and then this is your water fund, your sewer fund, and you have your garbage fund. And, of course, water and sewer and garbage are all funded from enterprise-related revenues, and we can't commingle those monies with the general fund. But your board does have the ability to move money between the general fund and the facilities fund, especially. So as we go through the presentation, it actually combines these yellows into a single pie chart for presentation purposes. Again, the details of the budget break it out separately for fund accounting purposes, and predominantly because we want to make sure that facilities, the revenues that we're generating either from rental income or from the lease to the sheriff's substation, those revenues associated with the facilities and how the money would be spent from those revenues are accounted for separately from the general fund, where the revenues in the general fund are essentially the property tax revenues that we get and then substantially used to pay for Five Cities Fire and a little bit for our lighting, street lighting costs. Moving then to the general fund, which includes those three components, this is the big pie. Overall, the general fund reserves are projected to be slightly more than $700,000 at the end of the year. And then we have a whole bunch of different components. In the bottom right, I have a box that says total of the 701,000, 230 is in the general fund, 20,000 is in the equipment fund, and about 450,000 is in the facilities fund. And so then I'm going to take each of the slices of the pie and discuss them separately. So our first one is the biggest slice of the governmental fund reserves, and these are the restricted revenues. So these are revenues, they're restricted, which means your board does not have any discretion. You can't move these reserves to other reserves. Certainly you have the discretion to spend them. And the biggest portion being the facilities fees, which is $257,000 out of the $314,000. And facilities fee revenues have actually been climbing pretty good in the last couple of years because of the development that we've been seeing happen in the county. Currently, the county, we collect the facilities fees, but the county collects the facilities fees and then sends them over to us. The county is right now working through a big update to their facilities fee report. We did our update last May. So I've been coordinating with them, and I also turned our report over to them so their consultant could kind of look at our report and give us any feedback. The other component of restricted is accrued leave. So this is pay, you know, vacation time and sick leave that if everybody were to have left on June 30th would have been a payoff. Obviously, all staff doesn't leave on the same day, so you know the actual requirement to pay out that amount of cash in any given year doesn't exist, but it's all been pre-funded. Every single year when we're doing our accounting closeout and we look at our labor costs, and if this accrued sick leave goes up because people have banked more hours, sometimes it will go down because people have used up hours, but it tends to move up year after year, if nothing else, because accrued sick leave goes up, even if everybody uses their vacation time. But the calculations based on labor say how much of that every year is attributable to the water fund and the sewer fund and the garbage fund and the various funds. And so it gets all of the funds get charged for this, and the money essentially gets deposited in the general fund. And so we need to have that accrued leave also set aside as a separate reserve. Moving on, now we move into the area where basically we're working on recommendations. Because when we take a look at the total amount of reserves that we have, we set aside the amount that's legally restricted, then how much do we have to work with? So the recommendation for infrastructure is about $130,000. That, again, is in the facilities fund. But in the last couple years, we had to replace the roof on this building. That was around $40,000. It was in part paid for by the general fund, but also in part paid for by water, sewer, and garbage through the administrative cost allocations. We had to replace the air conditioning, the heating units, and basically $130,000 is to fund minor upgrades and repairs for, like, the sheriff's substation, the fire station, district offices, but really isn't significant enough to do any major upgrades. The facilities fund, moving back a slide, that's really, that $257,000 is really what's available to help with upgrading to the fire station. But the $130,000 is, you know, simply to help us deal with issues if they come up, and is, you know, I'm confident that it's going to happen. It'll help with the normal stuff, but again, if we have any major catastrophes, then that's not going to be sufficient. The next one is what we call the minimum reserve. That's $173,000. And that was one of the ones that was highlighted on this. That's the leftover reserve in the general fund. And that's the amount that has been generated essentially from property taxes that weren't spent in prior years. And I call it a minimum reserve because that amounts to the minimum that we have to set aside for Five Cities fire costs in 1920. The projection of our deficit for Five Cities fire costs next year, which was, again, previously presented to your board, that the deficit for next year would be about $144,000, and with $173,000 in this reserve, it would leave us with a balance of about $29,000 there at the end of 1920. When we talked about 2019-2020.
Yeah.
And so when we discussed the idea of deferring the special tax election until June of 2020 so that we would have more certainty about what the future of Five Cities Fire Authority would be, that's where I had expressed confidence that we could get through 2019-2020 based on existing reserves, but not really any further beyond that. Separately, you know, at the end of the year, if everything else goes as planned, Carrie and I were taking a look at property tax revenues and some of the final numbers, and they have 2 years ago they increased 7%. Last year they increased 4.8%. We're only assuming a 3% increase again. If they increase as they did last year, we might have another $50,000 in there at the end of the year. But in the context of, you know, the strategic plan for Five Cities Fire Authority, that's not going to be sufficient to avoid a special tax election. But again, that's the basis for the minimum reserve was the unspent historical property tax revenues and making sure that's set aside to get us through 2019-2020 for Five Cities Fire Authority. Next is the equipment replacement. That was that red sliver in the first PICE chart that we saw. And this was a fund that we just set up a couple years ago in order to start really collecting depreciation on the newly acquired equipment so that when it has to be replaced, we have some cash in the bank in order to replace it. And so that pot will grow over time as we buy new equipment and we start depreciating it, as we start funding the depreciation. Then we have contingencies. So, $35,000 in contingencies is about 3.5% of how much we spend on Five Cities Fire Authority budget. And so, you know, if something unforeseen happens at Five Cities Fire Authority, this is a little amount that's set aside, again, 3.5%, in order to help in the event that we have unseen, you know, it's, again, contingencies for the Five Cities Fire Authority budget. And then the last one is unassigned, kind of a leftover amount, as it states, $27,955. But also because we've only done the preliminary closing on last year, and we know we still have more work to do, and there's an audit, you know, and maybe there's something that comes up. So it provides us a little bit of a cushion in case we have any adjustments in the final closing and in the audit. To recap, that's the pie chart again on total general fund reserves of $701,000, and I thought I'd use that as a good opportunity to take a brief pause and see if board members had any questions on general fund. Then we'll move forward. Water funds next. Similar, lots of different reserves in the water fund. A water fund is projected to be up $1.4 million. Oh, I should back up. On the general fund, we'll see a contrast with the water fund. What we don't have in the general fund, and quite literally don't have the ability to afford at this point in time, is any reserves or minimum reserves for cash flow. Because we start paying Five Cities Fire Authority, we start paying our bills on July 1st, but property tax collections don't come in until December. And so like school districts, we have a cash flow constraint. What we have to do then is do the calculations. We essentially will have to charge a little bit of interest to the general fund because our other funds, water and sewer and garbage, are going to be floating the cash flow in the first years. And those, in a more formal setting, are called revenue anticipation notes. I think, you know, school districts, if they get really tight on cash flow, will go out to the municipal markets and actually do short-term borrowing until you know, they get their property tax collections in. The county authorizes the county auditor to do interfund loans within a year if they have funds that run into similar issues. And so because there's not sufficient reserves to cover cash flow until property taxes come in, we'll be faced with, have been and continue to be faced with the same situation. In contrast, in water, where we have $1.43 million, we do have some minimum reserves for cash flow, which are coming up in just a second. Water Fund has relatively small restricted reserves, and those are for a water bond. The water bond was collected from a party that put in a cell tower, encroached upon an easement of ours, and so probably 15 years ago there was a demand basically to get a deposit in case we ever had to incur costs because of their encroachment on our easement. I think it was within the last year or two that the property went to sell, and the owners inquired about having that water bond released, and I contacted legal counsel, and we just said basically no. Because, and I think they said something, but nothing's happened in the last 15 years. And we say, well, you know, usually it doesn't happen in the first 15 years. It's in year 35 to 50 that it happened. So there's no reason to believe that we'll be releasing that bond at any time, really. And again, it's there to protect us in case we incur any costs because of that encroachment. The again, it's a restricted reserve, so it comes off the top. And then we go with what are our minimum reserves. And so in the water fund, the recommendation is $400,000 as a minimum reserve. And that's, we collect about $2.4 million in water service charges every year. We have six billing periods. So 2.4 million divided by six is 400,000. And that's really sort of the minimum cash flow that we need in the water fund. Now, it happens to be that on July 1st, we have some big payments for State Water and Lopez Water due as well. So we could actually get into a little bit of a tighter situation as well in the water fund. That minimum reserve might be higher, but we also have some money set aside for emergencies and other purposes that really help us with avoiding any cash flow problems on the water fund. So the minimum reserve for water fund is based on, again, 2.4 million divided by six billing periods, and we basically have to float around $400,000 for every billing period. Moving into the next one is emergency reserves. And this is simply for unanticipated system failures and natural disasters. Ideally, this number would be significantly higher. I looked at Napomo CSD's reserve policies, and they basically have a year worth of revenue set aside for emergencies. When the district had the San Simeon earthquake and impacts, that was about a $3 million project to repair all of those lines. And I'm not sure how the district floated the money up front. Obviously, in disadvantaged communities, we would be looking to FEMA and other agencies to, you know, help support any significant earthquake repairs. But we would be in a compromised situation in the event of a large natural disaster. The big emergency project we had this year was the waterline crossing, which came in at about $125,000. We still have to do the final accounting on that. The road just got repaved in the last couple weeks, and we had our final Coastal Commission clearance as well. So we'll be able to do the project closeout on that. But that was about $125,000, and that was a big break for us. Normally, if we're going to have a water break or something else, it's not going to create those kind of costs because, you know, we had to replace that whole section underneath the lagoon with the horizontal directional drilling, and it was a pretty big deal. So in terms of that short-term emergency we might have, I feel comfortable with this reserve. But in terms of the bigger natural disaster, we're going to be scrambling. Then moving to infrastructure reserves, in some ways this was the amount that I was really focusing in on, and how, what could we develop here in a recommendation while also having to consider all the other reserve recommendations. And in some ways this is then our starting point for our deferred infrastructure. This year we have to recognize that even though, so we're pretty comfortable on our cost estimates for the Air Park Bridge, our utility relocations for Air Park Bridge, and the crews are going to be self-performing that. We've ordered all the parts. I imagine we're going to have some help from contractors, but those numbers are looking pretty good. the drainage project that's coming, the utility relocations when the county goes in and does their drainage project. As a backup for new board members, our pipelines are in roads by the permission of whoever is responsible for the roads. So where we're in Highway 1, we're with permission of Caltrans, and when we're in county-maintained roads, we're in there by county permission. And if they need to do projects in their roads, either modifying their roads or their drainage facilities, then they can demand that we go in there and modify our utilities at our cost. And the only exception is really when our facilities predate theirs. And so out of all the utilities that we need to relocate, I think there's seven of them associated with the drainage project, we're financially obligated on six of them. But one of them, which is real close to the airport, our pipes were actually in the ground far in advance of when the county accepted that as a county-maintained road. And so we beat them in time, so we have the higher priority, and they have to pay for that utility relocation. But it's the drainage project where I'm much more concerned about cost, because the last time it went out to bid, the contractor's bids were a lot higher than what everybody had anticipated, both on the county's project as well as on our project. So part of this $350,000 may be necessary if those costs come in higher on the drainage project. The other two projects that we're going to work to try to get done this year relate to counties doing an overlay project near the lagoon. And so North Swing and another one of the roads has got small 1-inch and 2-inch galvanized pipes that date back to the 50s. And we really have to try to get those replaced before the county does their overlay project. Because if they break after the county does their overlay project and we have to go in there and do our pavement restoration work in the first 5 years are significantly greater. I've penciled out some costs with Cannon, who's working with us on the Water Resource Reliability Program, and the North Swing and ancillary work certainly seems to be well within our capabilities. And then Caltrans is also planning a large overlay project where they're going, I can't remember the full extent, it's all the way through Oceano, Pismo Beach, Shell Beach. They're going to be, Caltrans in the near future is going to be doing a large overlay project for Highway 1. And we also have some small 1-inch and 2-inch galvanized lines that are feeding. Tony, can you help me out on Highway 1? It's between CHC and the tire store where we have that 2-inch galvanized pipe that still remains?
Yes, sir. From the CHC main that got replaced on 21st, yes, it travels towards the ocean to Nipomo Street right there.
And it's a few hundred feet?
Yes.
Yeah. So, again, an old line, galvanized line, undersized line, and Caltrans is going to be doing an overlay project, so we're hoping to be able to knock out that one as well. So this infrastructure reserve of $350,000, right now my thinking is what are the costs going to be on the Highway 1 drainage relocations, which we're mandated to do, and then what can we do in terms of tackling North Swing and other undersized and old pipelines in Highway 1. And those two projects are really good because our boilerplate contract documents have been developed so far in association with large county contracts. But those other two projects, we're going to be taking the most simplified approach as we can underneath the public contracts code. If the total project cost is under $175,000, we don't have to produce full plans and specifications. Basically, the drawings that we would have to do would be the ones to satisfy the county for their encroachment permit. And to satisfy the county, we'll certainly provide enough information for contractors in terms of what they need to do. So it'll give us a good opportunity to work on some of the simplified approaches to contracting, and is one of the leading steps for our bigger deferred infrastructure program. So that covers the infrastructure reserves within the water fund. And again, that was one of the more significant targets in this overall exercise. Moving forward, equipment replacement within the water fund of about $130,000. We know that we're looking at a utility truck and accessories that are getting dated and need to be replaced. Vactor truck as well, we have an undersized unit, trailer unit that we work with. The higher priority will be the utility truck and accessories. And in part of, I'll remind the board that informally, as part of, well, as part of your formal actions to self-perform the Air Park Drive utility project, you informally promised Tony that he would be getting a new utility truck. So, and he may not have mentioned that that includes a crane and a whole bunch of other things. And the water fund doesn't have to pay for it all, because it's shared by sewer and garbage as well. But targeting this equipment replacement is sufficient for the utility truck, the water fund share, not sufficient for the Vactor truck. And the other one that we have, which is it really infrastructure or is it equipment, is ultimately we need to start planning on a portable generator for well number 8. I didn't cover the back in the general fund that the generator. So we will be coming back mid-year this year to do the final budget adjustment when we go out to bid on the generator. But that will be covered by facilities reserves and the grant revenue for the actual purchase of the generator. So that money's all well lined up for the generator. I think that the emphasis here for the utility truck was based on some informal promises at prior board meetings. So we set up the equipment replacement reserve so when the time comes, we have that money set aside. Contingencies of $135,000 are essentially 5% of the water fund's expenditures, and most local governmental agencies are working with 3-5% in terms of contingencies. And as previously mentioned, we had 3.5% set aside for Five Cities Fire Authority operations. And then lastly, again, an unassigned amount of about $92,000. Again, just not earmarked for anything, and there just in case we have any final closing adjustments or audit adjustments. And there's the big picture again on the water fund reserve, so I'll pause there to see if there's any questions on the water fund. And seeing none, moving forward, it actually speeds up a little bit. Sewer fund is at $977,000. And these categories are then pretty analogous to what we just saw in water with a minimum of $75,000. We collect about $400,000 a year in sewer collection. If you divide it by 6 billion periods, it comes up to about $66,000. So I rounded up to $75,000. Infrastructure. Again, targeted about $350,000, and that will help us move forward with deferred infrastructure on the sewer fund. In prior years, we had budgeted about $50,000 a year in order to work on, and time constraints and everything, we just didn't get any action on it. So we did not repeat that in the budget, instead set it aside in reserves. And there's three different things, although I have four bullets there. We have to put Pier Avenue lift station as a priority. We had another motor blowout. It takes 6 weeks to get a replacement. We run on one motor. It's got these proprietary interests associated with it. It's just not good. And so our next step on that will be working with Terra Verde Environmental to assess the ability to put the lift station behind the sidewalk instead of where it's at currently in the sidewalk and kind of in the road right-of-way. There's habitat concerns, but it doesn't look like it's high-priority habitat. Also lifted collection system pipes and deferred infrastructure in the sewer system similar to water. We've gotten a little bit of feedback from the sanitation district lately about I&I, intrusion and infiltration into our sewer system. The reality is it's not a big issue for the sanitation district right now. We're hearing some squawking, but we do need to address it. One of the reasons why we can gauge is it a big issue is that we have submitted our sewer system management plan to the regional board on a number of occasions, and the regional board isn't concerned about I&I in our system. So prior administrators weren't concerned. But we do know we have some leaky sewer system pipes, and we do need to deal with it. So collection system pipes, and then laterals. The board's current tentative policy right now is that the district is going to be responsible for laterals, and we know that those will pop up from time to time. So this infrastructure reserve will help us address laterals when they need to be repaired. And then the fourth bullet I put on is Pier Avenue lift station again. I just put it at the top and the bottom as a point of emphasis. Next, emergency reserves, $300,000 again, similar to the sewer fund, certainly adequate to deal with anything that pops up other than a big natural disaster. Equipment replacement, not as significant as the water because we do more work on water as compared to sewer, but again, turning the utility truck and the Vactor truck. Contingencies for the sewer fund are actually targeted at 20% of expenditures rather than the 5%, and that's just basically my concern about the lateral program. And what type of, you know, the board, as a background for new board members, a lot of public agencies put the burden of maintaining the lateral on the property owner all the way from the house and through the right-of-way and to the collection pipe in the street. So if there's a lateral problem, whether it's on private property or within the road right-of-way, that lateral only serves one property, and it's the property owner's responsibility if it's a failure. Previously, what your board did was said, well, the CSD is going to take on that responsibility, and if we need to adjust rates in order to cover those costs, we'll do so. But the point is that by the agency taking the responsibility, it sort of provides an insurance policy aspect to private property owners. That if we have to increase everybody's rates a little bit for lateral problems, that will help alleviate the burden of the one person who all of a sudden has a big problem. And in a disadvantaged community, that type of an expenditure can be significant. Carrie and I were just reading on some economics water stuff, and I'm not sure if you picked up on it, Carrie, or not, but there's a recent survey that went through that if somebody, what percentage of the population in our country can handle a $400 unexpected expenditure? And a $400 unexpected expenditure is going to have an impact on a surprisingly big portion of our national population. During the recession, it said that 50% of the population in the United States would struggle with being able to immediately pay for a $400 unanticipated expenditure. You know, it'd go on the credit card, it might be paid off for a period of time. But laterals can cost $10,000. And so for a disadvantaged community, that can really hit an individual family pretty hard. And that's where the board's direction was then, okay, we'll take care of it. Let's work this insurance policy, make sure our rates can cover it. But again, that's why I've targeted contingencies higher in the sewer fund than in the other funds. And then lastly, sewer also has unassigned, similar explanations to the other ones. That was sewer. Any questions on sewer? And then in garbage, just to wrap up, I took all the pies, split them up there, and don't have individual slides for the individual pieces of pie. And part of it is that the garbage fund, or solid waste and recycling, this is the fund that has, really strong reserves. Mm-hmm. We could have it in one big piece of pie if we wanted to. The reserves have been generated through our franchise fee revenues, and for many years the district wasn't doing anything with them, so they accumulated. Now that we've been developing our programs and now we have on the table the hiring of an individual to do solid waste coordination, we should expect these reserves to start dropping. But anyways, I divvied them up under the same categories, infrastructure and minimum equipment replacement, contingencies, and unassigned. But literally, these dollar amounts don't have the same kind of targets that they did for a general fund, water fund, or sewer fund, because overall, they're more than sufficient to meet any of our short-term needs. And that's garbage reserves, and that's the whole reserve picture. I'd be glad to answer any questions. And Carrie and I also prepped on the preliminary budget in the February 22nd presentation in case we got any zingers from the board. We think we're prepared to answer those as well.
I want to thank you both for creating those pie charts. That was very helpful.
Yes, very.
Any questions?
I don't have any questions. You did a great job of explaining it to us.
I have one.
So, again, this agenda item has... Oh, yes.
I did have a question. What kind of costs are we seeing in the lateral program, in the repairs of the lateral program?
Is that a big hit or a little hit? Yeah, the biggest hit that we saw before me was around a $12,000 lateral replacement, Tony. Yeah.
That's the one on Basin?
Pardon me?
The one on Basin? No.
No. And then we had the one about a year or 2 years ago.
Correct. The $12,000 was on 19th Street.
That was maybe about 5 years ago?
Yes. And R. Baker had to come in and replace it. Went through a median street all the way to the other street. And then, there's a median right there.
And then the one that I think you're remembering, Vice President Austin, is, Basin Street. It was the people who had moved in from Oklahoma, got here, bought the house, and then next thing you know, their lateral blows up on them.
Yes, and then the Basin one we took care of ourselves.
Yeah.
With the engineer firm getting the grade to ensure the grade was there.
And that one probably cost us, $3,000 to $5,000 or something.
Yes, it was significantly cheaper because we self-performed on that one also.
Yeah.
So it's not like we have 20 or 30 a year.
No, but they, as the system ages, they'll start creeping up on us, and that's the bigger concern.
We do have one currently that, the four complex on Beach Street we've had issues with. I've discussed that. And that's the 40 units on one lateral.
Yeah.
Yes. And that one's looking at about a $9,000 fix if we don't self-perform right now.
Thank you.
So they're there, that's for sure.
Yeah, thank you.
So if it meets the board's pleasure, remember that we do have the one modification. That needs to be addressed in the motion.
I was going to say, and public comment. I'm calling for public comment.
Good evening, directors. Mary Lucy Asciano. I first have to applaud you for being one of the only little areas around that actually is able to have a balanced budget this year. Our neighbors aren't doing so well, which is unfortunate, but I really, really applaud you on being able to have a balanced budget. And then also, too, is I wanted to comment on you on really methodically thinking through a reserve program versus it being more knee-jerk, driven by an emotion, pass a policy that, is really kind of doesn't have much thought into it. So thank you. Thank you very much for doing that. And I wanted to ask you, maybe it's in the larger budget, but do you, for like pass-through funds, like for fire, it's basically we receive the tax dollar, we turn it around and spit it right back out. Do you register pass-through funds in the budget, or do you, because it doesn't affect the bottom line, it's just being a fiscal agent and passing it through. So I just have a quick question on that. But overall, Oceana's come a really long ways, and having a sound reserve program only secures our future. So thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Ogren, could you answer her question, please?
Certainly, yeah. So we record the property tax revenues in the general fund, and then the expenditures go out through the fire fund.
Okay.
So when it comes to, there's a difference between like the checking account and the savings account. So the fire fund has no savings account. That's all general fund. The fire fund is just basically a checking account. And same as the lighting. They're cost centers. And so when we spend money out of the fire fund and spend money out of the lighting fund, we're writing checks. And those checks come out of the bank accounts of the general fund. But it's all there. It's all recorded.
Yeah.
Everything's shown.
Okie dokie. Questions? We're all dazzled by...
Yeah.
I do believe we need an action. It's is an action item.
You started to say there was some things you wanted to...
So in terms of taking this in two different actions for your board's consideration, my recommendation is first to address this final budget as modified. And so even a motion as to approve staff's recommendation on the final budget as modified would be sufficient, or language in the staff report. But I think we want to do item number one first and then discuss item number two. And those are on page 35 of 70 again.
Oh, I see.
You're talking about the recommendation. Okay, so I'll move that we approve the attached final 2018-19 budget as modified.
I'll second.
It's been moved and seconded. Do we need roll call?
Sure.
Okay, ask for a roll call vote, please.
Vice President Austin?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Gibson?
Yes.
Director Rapoglu?
Yes.
President White?
Yes.
Okay, you know, yeah. That reminds me of a story I was going to... I have to share this. One of my favorite stories ever.
Please share it.
I was in ninth grade. I lived in Virginia, and I was in a Spanish class. And, of course, Virginia is part of the South, kind of sort of on the fringe. And one of my friends had laryngitis, but she had the really deep Southern accent. So really deep Southern accent with laryngitis trying to speak Spanish. It did not work. I don't know what it is. We're going to be practicing Rapoglu.
Rapoglu. I'm moving on to item two. That would be the budget adjustments.
Yeah, so there's three for your board's consideration tonight. A is more important. B is discretionary, as is C. B is timely. Your board really has to take action, yay or nay, tonight. C can get deferred. So under number A in the sewer fund, it's a recommendation to increase appropriations by $7,500 for the fats, oil, and grease program, utilizing sewer fund unassigned reserves. And the idea there is we have about 14 different food service establishments in the community where we, as part of our sewer system management plan, have to do inspections of fats, oil, and grease facilities and equipments in these different food establishments. The sanitation district had been doing the inspections on our behalf for the last 5 years or so, several years, at an extremely good price. But the individual left the Sand District earlier this year, and so they're no longer able to do it. Our time constraints don't allow us to do it for calendar year 2018. So I've already approved a purchase order because it's within my limits. However, if your board doesn't approve the budget adjustment, then I'll probably have to go back and cancel the purchase order, at least the work that they're going to do one inspection. They're already starting to do one inspection, which we can fund with, you know, existing dollars in the budget. But then that would have the crews having to figure out how to do the fogging for the second time in 2018. So, you know, the consulting costs are significantly higher than self-performing. Part of that is because they have to get up to speed on what they're doing, and, you know, it's not part of their routine. They do the work for Arroyo Grande and Grover Beach, so they know what they're doing and everything. But that recommendation then is for the FOG program for 2018. And then in 2019, with the additional staff that we'll be hiring for the solid waste program, we'll probably also get that individual to up and trained on being able to self-perform FOG inspections. I'll just take them one at a time, see if there's any questions on that. The second one is from the garbage fund, $10,000, which should be well more than sufficient for the fall cleanup for the residents and property owners. Cleanup week is coming up, about 3 or 4 weeks. Last 2 years, the district has funded most of the cost of private property owners to put the large appliances and everything else on the street. We have some limitations, but it's been really successful. 2 years ago, it cost us just under $10,000. And I can't remember what the cost was last year, but I know it went down. Yeah, it was less. So I figured that the $10,000 would definitely cover it. Again, it's been a successful program, and we have people calling us already saying, are we going to do it again? So
didn't we hand out flyers and things and put it in the bills? Are we going to do that again?
I don't think we have time to put it in the bills.
We didn't do that. We just...
Yeah, but the individuals will be calling out, and I don't know what we can do to get the word out.
Yeah, so how do they know what they can put out? Washing machines, refrigerators?
Yeah. So the garbage company already has sent out flyers, and they notify everybody. I know I got mine at my house.
It seems like we did something that we really...
We did do it in our own water bills previously, but...
Not enough time this year, because it's September, I want to say 21st.
We could get a separate flyer out.
We could just put out a little flyer or something.
I mean, it costs a little bit, but it wouldn't cost a ton. Yeah, we could...
Put it on the website.
Yeah. Drive up and down the street. If Tony had a new truck, he could honk the horn.
We could just put some posters out around, get the word out. But we got to know
I think some effort
needs to be made. What's prohibited and what's...
Yeah. We could definitely get, word out. The nice thing is people are calling us already, so there's this certain amount of expectation.
People remember, yeah.
They're calling the garbage company, hey, is the district going to pay for it again? And I think that it's not just a feel-good item, but there is a health and safety aspect to it as well.
And are we going to cover Halcyon? Same franchise,
same day, district, the answer
same
is
everything.
Yes.
Thank you.
And then the third item, also garbage fund relating, is recycling and the work that One Cool Earth did last year. We handed out the proposal, but time's not really today to talk about the proposal. So your board can approve the budget for it. You could even approve the budget and say, but don't spend the money until they come and give us a proposal. Or you can just say, hey, let's defer this item C, have them come and do a presentation, and then you make the decision at that point in time.
Well, I'd like to see them do a presentation, but I'd be okay with go ahead and
do they need the money right away, or would there be time to say we'd like to have you do a presentation?
I think that they are anticipating being in front of your board in September.
September.
Yeah.
I see no reason why we can't go ahead on move the money in the budget.
Yeah,
you can do that, and we can still have them come out in September and have them do the presentation.
I would like to see
as
a presentation.
As long as they'll come if we've already given them money.
Yeah.
I'll tell them that we aren't giving them the money until after the board is satisfied with the presentation. That it's theirs to lose if they blow it, right?
Right.
Well, I would like to hear from somebody other than them.
They were very interesting last time. I really enjoyed hearing about them.
I think it's a good program, but I'd like to know something about the success of it.
Yeah, and One Cool Earth does similar programs throughout the county. They've been doing a lot of work with Paso Robles, I guess there's Unified School District up there as well. And
yeah, maybe some of the kids could come and speak to us about their experience.
I will put that burden on them. School did start, so that's a possibility. They might... I don't know if there's any particular teachers that they work more closely with that might be supportive, but it will follow up with them on that point as well.
I think it's at Jim DeCinco.
I think Jim's retired now.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, okay. I'm pretty sure that last school year was his final school year. But Jim led efforts on Oceano Elementary was consistently having the highest recycling rates in the county, their bike program, and they got one of the first national honors for their bike program, the Gold Star program. So Jim definitely did the leadership on a lot of that. So those were three items that are in front of your board for consideration. Again, item 2A relating to the FOG program is the one that's really most critical because of the change in staffing at the sanitation district and our need to catch up. And then B and C are discretionary but still recommended.
Do the new board members know what the FOG program is?
Not totally, but I...
Oil grease.
So it's just, yeah, it's to make sure that they are getting all their grease traps cleaned out and everything. And it's important to our system because the grease can clog up the laterals and everything, but even more so, it can create a health and safety situation. And if they're not dealing with their greases appropriately, can have problems beyond the sewer system.
Okay, thank you. Action?
Well, I'll make a motion that...
I'm sorry, public comment on the other half of this. Public comment. Seeing no one come forward, I will now entertain a motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the following budget adjustments, A, B, and C, which would be increase the expenditures in the sewer fund by $7,500 to pay for the fat oil and grease program, increase the expenditures in the garbage fund by $10,000 for the fall cleanup, and increase expenditures in the garbage fund by $10,000 to fund One Cool Earth educational programs at the school.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
None.
Carries unanimously.
And I will make sure to line up One Cool Earth to come out and either the September, well, one of the two September meetings.
Okay, thank you. Oh, I guess we move on to written communications.
Nothing other than I already discussed with your board.
Future agenda items?
I have several things that I would like to discuss at future meetings. First is reconstituting the Parks and Recreation arm of the OCSD that is within our purview. I think a full discussion of that is most appropriate when we're doing our goal setting after all of the new directors are seated. But there is something that we could discuss sooner and hopefully in September, and that is the OCSD in the contract with LucMR for the community center has 120 hours that they can use the community center for free. Currently, we're not taking advantage of that, and I think it's an opportunity to offer some programs to the citizens of Oceano. So I would like to see that come up on a meeting agenda in September, if you all are agreeable.
I think it should be discussed, but I am very, very hesitant to spend any money on Rec and Parks until we have the Five Cities Fire thing resolved. Because
I forgot to mention.
I would support putting it on the agenda September, October. Yeah. How about anybody else?
So you're saying there's 120 hours available, and that's there's no money involved in that?
No, the OCSD can use that for free. So it could be an opportunity to offer free or low-cost recreational opportunities to the community.
What somebody would have
to... be able to do that through our parks?
So we can't, at this point in time, get into too much discussion.
Well,
and
right.
I heard two different things. One is I heard 2019 goal setting, which I think is good. My recommendation for reviewing in September or October is... I could put together a review of our lease agreement with LucMR, and it will speak to how it overall works and the hours that are available and everything. And in discussing with Director Replogle, one of the things that I recognized in the discussions was we've been taking this position that we don't currently provide parks and recreation services. And I think this would be a good opportunity also to consider a letter to LAFCO that says, you know what, we actually do. Through the lease agreement with LUCMR and their implementation of parks and recreation services, we do have an active power right now. It's through a partnership. You know, we're not directly providing them. So I think a review of the lease agreement, even prior to doing goal setting in 2019, is a good idea. And that can also, I think I'll probably have, you know, a letter drafted for your board's consideration to send to LAFCO on a revised position regarding, that we are providing some, albeit through a partnership.
Okay.
That sounds good to me.
Okay.
Well, she may have some other.
Yeah. Well, Darcy didn't show up today, but it would be good to get back to the place at some point in the near future on the old firehouse and where we are with considering their request.
Yeah, and so that is more based on timing considerations of our ability to work on that. We have the board direction, and we have to do some coordination with the county, but the only thing that's really holding us up from moving forward and talking with the county about that right now is some of the other things that we're working on. So my recommendation on that is for me just to simply include that in the board's and my general manager updates over the next couple meetings, and we see how we can progress, and if it's not getting anywhere, then we can put it back on the agenda.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
And one last thing, I met with Gennaro Diaz at the county a week or so ago, and he's got draft preliminary plans for the Highway 1 Front Street revitalization in two phases, and the second phase is contingent on Caltrans accepting an 8-foot easement from the railroad, which Caltrans is reluctant to do because they don't want to deal with the maintenance of that strip. So he said Caltrans may reject the application. There's a grant application in as well, and that might be the reason. So it would be helpful if the OCSD could discuss at a future meeting whether we could write a letter of support that we would assist with the maintenance of that in conjunction with community groups or somehow
yes.
Put that out there.
And so on that particular item, we have had it on the board's agenda previously, and we were anticipating on doing some follow-up. And I think you characterized the challenge accurately. One of the individuals who we were hoping, and he's in training this week, but I've called him, left him some emails, and he previously indicated that he would do so, but it was to have Gennaro at our open house and doing the presentation on both the revitalization project and his Highway 1. So maybe what I can do is talk him into doing a practice presentation to your board on his Highway 1 efforts, and then time that with the consideration of this easement that has been dedicated to Caltrans, but Caltrans hasn't accepted it. Can't get into the discussions, but I think you fairly characterized the challenge there.
This is the area straight out and down.
Taylor's property or whatever.
Right, yeah. Next to Taylor's.
Yeah. Between, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
I have one question on another future agenda item. Seabreeze Mobile Home Park, did we have a committed time when we were supposed to, by which we were supposed to help those resolve that?
Did not have a committed time. We were shooting for a summertime to get back into the rules and regulations of the district. That timing is slipping, and with the construction projects that I have coming up, I I need to focus in on getting our construction projects out to bid.
Yeah.
And then turn attention to the rules and regulations. And I think that that's the best timing I can offer right now. But we did not have a firm commitment with them.
Okay.
What we did promise to do is that when we got into those work efforts, we would contact them and make sure that they were engaged in them.
Okay.
Sorry, could you fill me in on what that issue is?
It's the issue of the maintenance of pipelines within the boundaries of the mobile home park. And past practices versus what happened during the development phase. And so there is disagreement as to what the district's responsibilities are within the boundaries of the mobile home park.
Thank you.
Next meeting, we will be scheduling a fee appeal by the Melodrama on the project that they have in construction right now. So that'll be on your board's agenda. Celia, did you give them a call?
Yeah, what's the
message? Message? All right.
What did you say it was, an appeal?
A fee appeal, yeah, for their...
say it again.
Fee appeal.
Yeah, the capacity fees, the hookup, you know. So even though they had a prior use, they got a new building developed. They're making a lot of changes. We've calculated in accordance with the ordinance what their water fees are supposed to be. And so they've indicated a desire to appeal that fee. And so we're going to prep to have it on next week's agenda. Two weeks from today. What is that? September 12th? Looks like. Yeah.
Why is the third? Oh, holiday.
Yeah. Okay, so that would be a future hearing item. Anything else?
Maybe.
This is going to be my last meeting. I'm relocating and finally got a bed in there. So I'm going to have to resign.
Because Director Angelo is moving, will be moving out of the district boundaries.
District boundaries, yes.
So,
unless you want me to stay anyway, but I'm sure that can't happen.
I think you're indicating it might be your last meeting behind the dais, because we're going to, of course, pull you back with the other recent board members and, you know, give you some acknowledgments and maybe a little bit of heckling.
I'm not worried about that. I'll be back. Don't worry. I'll be here at time.
Yeah.
I'll just be out there. Right, Mary?
So Director Angelo did inform me that she was moving outside of the district boundaries and would be indicating to the board tonight her resignation. So my thoughts are is that a future agenda item for September 26th would be to consider an appointment for her replacement. Obviously, Elaine is going to be on board in December, and I would like to schedule September 26th for the consideration of the appointment. Then we have the ability. I mean, obviously, your board could appoint somebody else for the next 2 months. That's not going to be my recommendation, so that we could have the new full board sitting as soon as possible. We have the statutory requirement for a 15-day posting requirement. And so we would not be able to have it on the September 12th agenda. Other than September 26th, the other option would be to schedule a special meeting, but I don't think that would be necessary. You know, we could just do it as the first item of consideration on the 26th.
Question, if we consider it on the 26th, can she be seated on the 26th?
It's immediately upon appointment.
Okay,
like
thank
director,
you.
Yeah. Or
yeah.
Listening.
It just would be delightful to keep a full board, five people sitting here.
Well, and it kind of gives us a 2-month head start, too, rather than having to wait till December. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else to come before this board tonight? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
Move we adjourn.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, aye. We adjourned at 7:35.